is CII. You're listening to The French Connection.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Mohammed, you know, we were just discussing the fact that this may be visiting countries around the world. I believe with the financial debacle being intentionally thrown on this world, we can see parallels to other implosions that were caused by the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England back in the 1930s with the constriction of credit and the availability of capital and money to help the economy stay afloat. You see contractions of capital happening to the people who need it most and huge amounts of money going to people who are part of the crime gang. And there's a squeeze going on here between the people who need it most not getting it and the people who've committed the crimes getting bucket loads of it. And we're heading down a very slippery slope to, it seems to me, a complete collapse is in the offing. And I don't know how long off into the future it will be. Somebody wrote me an email recently saying, well, you know, you said that by the end of February we would be seeing, you know, serious events happening financially. Well, I think those events that are happening, they're not, the gravity of those events are not necessarily being fully discussed, but certainly the story has advanced over the last 2 months, and we are now at a point of no return. I don't see the world's financial system being salvageable at this point, and I believe the kinds of horrors visited upon the Palestinians are soon to be visited upon many societies in our world through horror and draconian methods of this same group. Well, what's your take on all that?
Well, I think just on the last point first, Darrell, you know, we've seen from the, as the police would say, an MO, the modus operandi of these people, that they like easy targets, they like soft targets, hence the Palestinians, hence the unarmed Lebanese, hence the Egyptians back at the time when the Egyptians didn't have a proper standing army, the British had never allowed one. We won't see these people making a full-on attack on, say, Russia or China. Probably not even Turkey, for that matter, since Turkey has a standing army of 500,000 soldiers, all of whom are reasonably well trained. They'll be looking for their usual soft targets. We can see them beating the drum now 2 years or more for an attack on Iran. And obviously Iran is too big for the Zionists to chew through the apparent front of the Israeli state, which means that they've got to try and drag America into that one. Only America's big enough to fight Iran, because there's 60-odd million people who live in Iran, and they have national service there. Every Iranian at some point has held a weapon and learned how to fire it over a couple of years. So not many people in Iran don't know how to fire a weapon and handle a weapon well. It's a very, very, very different proposition, and I believe that they want to take on Iran as and when they can, and they want America to do that for them, and I don't believe that's off the table yet. And behind the scenes, we have all these negotiations to do with finance. Of course, Darrell, had there not been interventions with taxpayers' money from real economies, no doubt the banking system would have collapsed the best part of a year ago, maybe 10 months ago.
Yeah.
What these people keep doing, and it's something that we have to learn as a way of caution, what they keep doing is undertaking interventions that buy time. They're not solutions to the problems, Darrell. And I think this is the point that you keep going back to. Whenever these people are seen to be doing this or doing that or giving money here and spending money there, whatever these things are, they're reactionary.
Yeah.
And they're tactical. They're not strategic, and they're not solutions. In the same way that a man can have gangrene, in his leg. We keep providing him with antibiotics so that it doesn't spread, and we give him painkillers so he doesn't feel the pain, but the gangrene is still there. It might not hurt him, and it might not go any further, but the leg still has the same ailment. We haven't cured the ailment, and most, if not all, certainly most of the interventions that the Western governments have undertaken are similar to this. Painkillers, trying to limit spread, but not actually dealing with the problem itself.
Well, it seems to me, Mohammed, that they're pushing the day of reckoning financially a little further out into the future, but they're also making the fall from a higher platform every time they do that. In other words, it's like we're building a shaky structure, going higher and higher with it, but ultimately that structure will fail, and when it does, instead of falling from 10 stories, we want to fall from 30. And all of that could have been avoided.
Well, of course, Darrell, if we come back to the analogy of the gangrenous leg, rather unpleasant analogy, but sadly a very apt one, if we keep administering antibiotics to stop the thing from spreading and painkillers so the guy doesn't feel anything, over time the gangrene will eat the leg away and the gangrene will cease simply because there is no leg left to eat away. Ultimately, the leg will go if the correct treatment for the ailment is not applied. And we have a situation where the governments of the world are saying, right now, you know, we don't actually have any solution to this problem. It's a new kind of problem because it's a new kind of financial system. Gordon Brown famously said the week before last, this is a whole new financial system, and as a result it's created a whole new type of financial problem, which happens to be a systemic problem. It's a system-wide problem, and because it's a new system, and we've never seen this kind of problem before, we don't know what the solution is. So for the first time, the doctors come out and said, well, this gangrene's not like normal gangrene. It's actually blue as opposed to green. It looks like gangrene. It behaves the same way as gangrene, except it's blue. So we don't really know how to treat this one. Would have done us all a great deal of favour, Darrell, if when it was only a gangrenous toe, and before it spread up to the rest of the leg, when it was just a toe at the time of Northern Rock, that we actually let it fail. We cut the toe off. Because even if we don't have the right kind of medicine, there would have been nothing to continue spreading. But of course they didn't, and they actually intervened and said, don't worry about this, we'll give him a shot of painkillers and some antibiotics to stop it spreading, but it still spread.
Well, but Mohammed, let's talk for a minute here about the real reason why they bailed Northern Rock out, because counterparties that were owed money were part of the crime gang, and we know that counterparties within the Goldman Sachs and within the other New York banks, Bank of New York being one of them, and of course J.P. Morgan, and you'll find South African listeners, they are the people who hold all of the stock options on your gold mines, so these are important names to remember. But many of the people who got paid out through Northern Rock were part of the One Square Mile in London, and they're the part of the criminal gang. So they took payments for themselves. They made sure that their institutions were going to be bailed out at all costs, and to heck with anybody else who suffers. And now what we find a year on is they're continuing this whole debacle, this whole system where they keep handing over huge sums, trillions in value from the real economy over to the crime gang. And what we're left with here is debts out into the future that could never be paid back. And we're becoming, as a society, impoverished to a point where mass starvation and mass suffering are almost an automatic in every society on Earth. And that's what I see has happened, and I am predicting that those are the things that will come to pass are we not able to do something to stop it immediately?
Well, sadly, we can't stop it immediately, Daryl, because they didn't take the proper corrective action at the time that they should have done. And, of course, that's just allowed the mess to get bigger and bigger and bigger. We can no longer cut off the toe because the whole leg is gangrenous. Even if it did start in the toe, it just won't help us now.
Yeah, but using your analogy, the body's septic now, and it's on ICU. It's in intensive care. It's on the verge of failure entirely. I'm talking about, for those of you who've seen the Mel Gibson movie Mad Max, I'm talking about a Mad Max world for very big areas of this world. America is on the verge. There is mass starvation on the horizon here. We're talking about food and grain stocks not being shipped. All you need to do is look at the Baltic Dry Index to understand that foodstuffs and products required to keep a modern world moving are not being shipped. I see on our horizon a complete failure of social order. And, of course, at that point, through that chaos, they will inflict more damage upon us. And this has been their MO from the beginning. You want to talk about this group using chaos to inflict their control on our societies throughout time?
Well, indeed, Dal, just very briefly before coming on to that, I'd also like to just say that it's a very important point that you raised with what happened to the British government's money to bail out Northern Rock. What did that actually mean? Many people don't understand, but as you've pointed out, where did the initial £25 billion go? Well, of course, when that money was given to Northern Rock, they took the money and paid it to all the institutions and people that they owed debts to. So the money went into the company and then straight out, which is why it needed a second bailout, because the money was only used to pay off its creditors. In reality, Gordon Brown could have let the company fail and just handed money straight to the creditors. But if he approached it that way, of course, we'd have to declare on paper who those specific creditors were. The way it was done is relatively anonymous, and that they've benefited at the cost of the British taxpayer, and the British taxpayer doesn't know who those beneficiaries are even to this day, and that's another reason for doing it that way. But coming back to the chaos, yes, they have as a methodology the ability to create a problem, which they then follow up with the recognition and the pointing at the problem, the suggesting of a solution, and the putting in place of a solution. But that solution will include part of their agenda.
Yeah.
And we discover then when we look at the whole picture, Daryl, of course, that they created the problem solely to bring about the solution, which included the element of their agenda.
Which, in my view, and in many's view who have looked into this, is a control system worldwide, both financially, media. In other words, we're looking at a very minute group, a small handful of human beings running everything on our planet, and anybody who gets in their way will be crushed underfoot, and we will be living in tyranny. And clearly, it won't be at the present number of population that we have today. There will be mass starvations. They've used their ties to the drug world and to the disease manufacturing world through Fort Detrick and others to poison societies, give them diseases that can't be cured, or providing diseases and then making the cure more deadly to the patient than helpful, wholesome, holistic methods would have been. In other words, there is a population reduction planning going on, and it's been in place for African continent for a good 30, 40 years, but it's starting to take place. I think they're ready to inflict this bird flu on us once again, which basically is an offshoot of that Spanish flu that they developed back in the turn of the last century. And we're going to look at mass dying, mass kill-offs of human beings. These people, and they know what they're doing at the top, And so in order to do that, these people have to be monsters. They have to be psychopaths without the ability to empathize or sympathize in any way to the crimes and to the suffering they're committing. And I can't believe that the traction that we're getting on this is still in its infancy. It should be in the hundreds of millions of people worldwide right now that know these facts, and instead it's in the tens of millions if we're lucky.
Well, we're very fortunate in some respects, Al, even though that number seems quite small. If one were to go back, say, 10 years ago, you'd probably be able to count the number of people on several pairs of hands, you know. It has come a long way. In terms of the mechanisms that they've got in place, I think as more and more people are waking up to this, it's then, firstly, they're able to take action to protect themselves and their own immediate family and immediate friends. Anybody listening to this information should realize that forewarned is forearmed. It's possible at least to protect yourself to some degree through knowledge and information and action when you're aware. When you're not aware, Darrell, of course, you can do nothing. So we are in the advantageous position where maybe 10 or 20 million people around the world now are able to make plans and to try and make other people aware of what's going on as part of their plan.
Well, you know what? What we've got to do here at this moment, Mohammed, we're going to take about a 6-minute break here, some for ads and some for a break that the station does at the top of the hour. I hope you'll stay with me to take some phone calls from worldwide listeners. We are listened to in 152 countries worldwide, Mohammed. It should be every country on our planet, and that is my goal, and it should be every human being in this world that knows these facts. On the way out to this break, I'd like everybody to think about how they can get more people to know and hear these facts shared on the French Connection, and how they can make sure that their families begin to understand these facts as deeply and as profoundly as we understand them. Because if, as you said, foretold of these things is forearmed, yes, well, you're being told now. The action to take is in your hands. Ladies and gentlemen, the phone number to call for on-air questions for my guest and for myself is country code 227, and then it's 11494-7007. You will get the on-air to my engineer, and he will put you up on a question for both Mohammed Rafik and myself. And until that happens, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a short break. Be right back.
The newly launched Sisters Magazine Volume 2, Paina Ina B. Roberts, is now available from CII stores and can be purchased from any of the following distributors countrywide. Mohammed in KZN, 084-208-6058. Rustenburg, Tasiana, 083-999-6065. Petersburg, Wahida Jumma, 015-292-0103. Johannesburg, Nasiha, 079-426-0273. Roshni from Fauzia, S016-556-2376. Kinross Jihad, Stanerton, Bethal and Ermelo from Sister Zuleika Patel, 017-687-2295. Azadville from Juice and Sweets, call Ibrahim, 072-786-7416. Or Zubaydah on 011-413-1162. Get your copy of Sisters Now, which has everybody talking.
Listen to the world as things occur. Get Islamic songs. Get news. Get information. Get spiritual. Only on CII. Now, you can tune into CII anywhere and anytime across the world 24/7. Welcome to www.ciibroadcasting.com. And catch CII now, live on audio streaming across the world. Get Islamic songs. Get news. Get information. Get spiritual. Listen to the world in the comfort of your home or as you travel. CII. The world is listening. Are you? Join Mulana Musa Lahair every morning from 6 to 7 a.m. as we travel the spiritual journey.
حينا نذكر صفات الله حينا نعرف وحدانيته سبحان الله.
CIINetwork.net. Now, you can tune into CII anywhere, anytime.
If a person does not have sincerity,
surely then your education will be much more valuable.
And who brings you to all this?
Log on to CIINetwork.net for the latest Islamic trends.
They are raising green flags.
There's an absolute
news. News.
Zahid Asmal. CII News. Bande Aceh, Indonesia.
Nasheed. Useful information.
This is what I'm saying to the Muslims.
Finance.
And on the European markets, right?
And more. Log on now. That's CIINetwork.net.
Every morning on every newsflash, I hear the sorrow of the world. It seems like everybody's lost and scared, trying to make sense of it all. And as I travel to and fro, so many faces pass me by. I see lonely hearts living lonely lives, just biding their time. And while we call ourselves civilized, many people living empty lives as they droom their way through day and night. I pray for our world, I pray for every child. Choose the path that's right. Believe in Allah every day of our lives. In the evening on the TV news, I see images of war. I see brother killing brother. No consequence at all. And while those who claim to be leaders sell us tales of deceit, but Allah alone knows in their hearts what they reveal and conceal. And while we call ourselves civilized, we go on killing human to God of black and white.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, after the top of the hour break. And, you know, what we're going to do is spend the next, 45 minutes or so with my guest, Mohammed Rafiq, and the callers. What I'm hoping to do here, ladies and gentlemen, is again, bring people to the fight. They cannot defeat us if we are unified as a society, as a people, as a group. We are invincible if we stick together and we fight together. I am not going to profess any great knowledge of the Islamic faith, nor will I do the same in on the Christian side. Rather, what I want to do, ladies and gentlemen, is find common ground that we both have. We love our families. We want the best for our futures. We want a good education. We want to eat well with unadulterated foods. We don't want wars being fought in our name for no reason. We don't want to see suffering unanswered in this world. We don't want to see acts of barbarity and sickness on our TVs. We don't want to see people promoting homosexuality as a first choice lifestyle. Now, again, I do not want to come out and be against people who are born in with a certain predisposition for a behavior, but I do not believe it is something that we should promote as our societal goals, and that is exactly what these people are trying to do. There are so many things that they're doing to us, ladies and gentlemen, that we all need to examine and look at and say, wait a minute, tattooing ourselves is not the way to go. You know, some of these music where they objectify women, pornography, drugs being peddled around the world, more by doctors than anybody else. These are the kinds of things we need to fight against, and we need to inform the world of who's doing it. So I'm going to bring up my first caller here. From Mohammed, are you still with me?
I am indeed, Darryl.
Great. We got a caller from South Africa named Rasul. Rasul, are you on with me?
Yes, I am. Good evening, Darryl.
Good evening, Rasul. Do you have a question for Mohammed Rafiq?
Yes, I just want him to comment, and you can comment as well. I feel there is an urgent need to vigorously network with other organizations to inform the U.S. electorate who as taxpayers, have been deceived by their respective governments that the unilateral cowboy adventures into Iraq, Afghanistan, and so on, under the pretext of terrorism and weapons of mass destruction, of which there was none, has impacted negatively on the economy and has, to a large extent, resulted in the financial bankruptcy of America in particular, at the expense of the American taxpayer. The U.S. government has supplied the Zionist rogue state of apartheid Israel with most sophisticated weapons to be used against defenseless citizens of Palestine and innocent children. In addition to defense and material support, the U.S. supports the apartheid state of Israel financially to the tune of $40 million a year. I stand to correction. Maybe you have better figures. And the other wars are costing the taxpayer close to $10 million a month.
Well,